We live in a city with a fast pace of life. Next slide. And we have a hustle and bustle that makes it difficult to pause and take stock of what is happening within us and around us. I'll just try this. And even when we do pause, we often are drawn to our phones or some sort of device and to the world of technology. Now, I'm not saying that these platforms that bid for our attention, including the prominent social media platforms, are all bad. However, they are very effective at grabbing our attention and holding it. In fact, they employ many hundreds or thousands of staff to come up with new and creative ways of grabbing our attention and keeping it. It is important for us just today just to do a little bit of an audit of our attention, because where we focus on is where our heart is. Where we focus on is where our heart is. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, he was not speaking of storing up earthly things, earthly treasures, material things. You know, allowing our hearts to be so tied up in those that we lose focus on things that endure, on heavenly things, on things that are eternal, things that can never be taken away from us. Where we have our hearts, our affection in, it draws us to that thing, and it doesn't leave much room for the other. If we're so entrenched in treasures here, our heart, there's not much room in our heart for treasures in heaven. So where should our treasure be? Where should our attention be most focused? See, me personally, at the start of last year, I really felt the Lord kind of call me to do a bit of an audit of my attention, on my focus, and to kind of have a look, you know, in humility with my distractions, you know, like watching movies or Mr. Beast blowing something up on YouTube or something like that. You know, these aren't bad things in themselves, but am I allowing enough time to focus on in prayer, being silent in the presence of God? How can I judge myself? Am I doing a good job at this? What's the yardstick to judge that? Well, Jesus today gives us a direct answer. He says, "Make your home in me as I make mine in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit all by itself, but must remain part of the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me." So he was speaking in the context of a Last Supper. Okay, so the Last Supper, the last meal where he instituted the Eucharist before he would die and rise again. And this is the words that surely he would have hoped that his followers would have held on to. Some of his last instructions. You know, the very important things he said, that I'm about to go, here's my encouragement and my instruction to you. And a key part of that instruction was to remain in his love. Remain in his love. How do you feel when I say that? Remain in my love. See, one of the things that comes to mind often when a preacher gets up, and I experience this, I'm not sure about you, and they start talking about remaining in the love of God or prayer, often we can think, oh yeah, I don't do enough. Yeah. I get distracted. I'm not giving enough. But the invitation here to remain in my love is the invitation to gaze at Jesus, to give him the proper portion of our attention, to let our hearts be so caught up in this gaze that our affection for him grows. It's to be caught up in the gaze of God. It's to pause and look and let our hearts be changed. And then what happens is, when we do that, it's like we're a branch connected to a vine, is what Jesus is saying. It's like we're drawing from his source what we need, his love. I want to suggest today two ways that we can stay connected to the vine, that we can remain in the love of God and grow in relationship with Jesus. The first way is to grow in intimacy with the Word of God. And the second way is the grace of the sacrament of reconciliation. So the first way, intimacy with the Word of God. This week in the office, I celebrated my 1 year anniversary with the staff, and Vanessa made a cake in the shape of a one, so I turned one. And one of the staff members was saying to me, you know, what's been the highlight of your year of priesthood? And it kind of put me on the spot. I said, oh, I don't know. I don't even know how, where do you start to think about a question like that? And so I had a little bit of time to think of it. And it's hard to put into words, obviously, what it's like to celebrate the sacraments, to minister sacraments. It's really hard to describe. Obviously, that's the highlight. But there's another highlight that came to mind. One of the things that priests do is preach a lot of homilies. A lot of homilies. It's only been a year, but there's been, I don't know, 100 or 200 homilies. Now, this can be challenging at times to come up with stuff or ask God, but nothing could prepare me for the depth of intimacy that is available through every day just opening up the Word and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you through the Word and make it applicable to your life. See, there's nothing that could prepare me for that, because what I found is after 6 years, seminary, and James, please close your ears, after six years in the seminary and then, I don't know, 2 years in Canberra, you know, we study so much of the Bible, we have so much prayerful retreats, and I came out thinking, I know the Bible, here we go. But we're called to a deeper type of knowing. Yes, we're called to know about Jesus, to learn about him, to know that the first five books of the Bible are called the Pentateuch and all this wonderful knowledge that you get from studying the Bible. Yes, that's good. Also, we're called to be intimate with the Word of God. We're called to have a living relationship with the Word. It's alive and active. Through the Holy Spirit, we're called to experience the Word of God, to experience a deeper relationship through this amazing text that we're given. It's not just like any other book. It's not just like something like a textbook, you know, a library of all these wonderful stories from across the centuries. No, it's something that is alive, and that if we were to just allow our hearts to open up to it, to enter into it day by day, we'd know Jesus personally. We'd know him at a deeper level. I spent the last 4 months or 5 months or so going through the first five books of the Bible slowly and just allowing the Lord to speak to me through that. And one thing I learned was that through the Old Testament, not just the New Testament, we come to know Jesus. I'll give you an example. When growing up, my father's from Chile, South America, and we have a different background, myself and my father. I know my father. I know what he's like. I know his favorite food. I know a lot about him. But there's part of him that I don't know, yeah? Because he's from another country. He had a different upbringing. And I'd never seen the country before. Heard all these stories, but I never encountered it personally until we all went as a family there to his country. And we went to visit his old house where there's some relatives still there. And we walked along the streets. We met his neighbors who were still alive. And some of the stories he told me, oh, I used to kick rocks on the soccer field because it was so dangerous. We never want to slide tackle because we get all cut up. And oh, yeah, I didn't believe that story. So, and then we went to the soccer field. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's big rocks on the side. It's true. It's like it came alive. And so through that experience, I really got to know who he was. I got to smell the air that he smelled as a child, and I got to experience something of what he experienced. When we pick up the Old Testament, we really get to know who Jesus was, because that was the reality he was born. We get to know his culture. We get to know God the Father. We get to know how he wants to save us, how he wants to liberate us, that there are all these connected stories right from the start, and it's all interwoven and it all leads to Jesus. And the more we get into it, the more we know him and the more we're connected to him. It's this wonderful journey. The Bible is so magnificent. Getting to know someone involves listening to them and getting to know them personally. And that's what we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word. A great example of this is the road to Emmaus. You know that story after Jesus died and he rose again? And he appeared to two disciples on the way to Emmaus and the road to Emmaus, and they recognized him after he broke bread, after this beautiful sacrament of the Eucharist. Oh, sorry, you're already there. Well done. If you go back, yeah, great job. They recognized him on the road. And the scripture says, then their eyes were opened. They recognized him and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? It's a very powerful statement. Their hearts were burning within them when Jesus opened the scriptures to them. When the Holy Spirit opens the scriptures to them, to us, our hearts will burn within us. Will burn like the fire Jesus spoke about. I've come to bring fire to the earth. I wish it was blazing already. He was talking about the fire of his love, the love of God that burns in you. And if we go to the scriptures regularly, if we abide in the scriptures, our hearts will be inflamed with the love of God like these disciples. It's a very clear way of remaining in the love of God in the Word. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two is quicker. Point number two. Keep coming back. Don't lose heart. Keep coming back to God. Don't lose heart. Despite our best efforts, we will not remain in his love perfectly. There are too many distractions today. At times we all fall short. That's true. We all fall short. At times we struggle to live what we know we should live. We all make mistakes. And we're given, as Catholics, a sure way of grace that's never taken away from us, always available to us. The mercy of God is always available to us in a very concrete and a bodily way. We get to have a sacrament in front of us, the sacrament of reconciliation. Our church always has an avenue for sinners. Always have an avenue for those who need help to stay in his love. The Catechism, which is a summary of our faith, basically, it says that the sacrament of reconciliation forms our conscience, helps us to fight against evil tendencies, lets ourselves be healed by Christ, and progress in the spiritual life. By receiving frequently through this sacrament the gift of the Father's mercy, we are spurred to be merciful as he is merciful. There's no place we can go that is too far from the vine. The life-giving mercy of God, the Holy Spirit giving us grace to form our conscience, to examine our hearts in a spirit of truth, to fight against evil with his grace, to be healed, to be progressing in the life of the Spirit. If we were to come to this sacrament regularly, we'd receive from the vine, from Jesus who instituted this sacrament, we would receive those graces regularly. We're to run back like the prodigal son, running back to the Father, not be disheartened, not be like, I'm doing such a bad job. And sometimes when we fall, it's hard to pick up and run back to the Father. But we should be filled with the confidence of God, the confidence in the mercy of God, that he wants his children to always come back to him and to quickly come back to him, to remain in his love. For cut off from him, you can do nothing. Why would we live our lives in a way that is cut off from him? See, one of the greatest wonders of the Christian life is that we have access to God in such an intimate way. Through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, we draw life from God. Our entire spiritual life, like a branch that draws its life from the vine. That's how we're to be with God. We're to be drawing His grace into our lives through the power of the Spirit, that we can always be in His love. We can always be gazing upon Him with our attention and our hearts always growing in affection for Him, becoming His, that He'll be at home in us, and we'll be at home in Him forever. So we ask for the grace today to remain in His love, to open up the Word and to really come back to Him whenever we stray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, Father Dan here. If this homily has been helpful, there are a few things I'd love for you to do. Firstly, subscribe to this podcast or share this episode with someone who might find it helpful. And consider also helping us to expand our mission and reach out to more people by donating at stbenedicts.com.au/donate, or you can click on the link in the podcast description. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a blessed week.